Hello, hello everybody, and welcome to this week's call. We're working with the context of submit and collapse again, and we are working with transforming anger into its healthy role, which is movement, momentum, likes to get things rolling and keep it grooving. Now, all right, my loves. That's my informal take on anger today. Likes to get things moving and keep them rolling and grooving. Okay. Besides making myself laugh, I'm really happy to be here with y'all. It's truly a joy to gather with y'all in this way today. And I'm going to invite you to take the next minute or two just to make any adjustments you might need to. Stretch, shimmy, shakes. Getting yourself comfy cozy to settle in for the next little bit. Knowing that you can continue to move around while we're working together, I encourage that in fact. If ever there's an impulse to move or breathe or make a sound in a particular way when we're working together, please do honor that. All right, my loves. So as we start off for today, I invite you to begin here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive, to drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space, to allow, to surrender. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to really drink that in, to mindfully be with it and appreciate it. And then I'm going to invite you to, on purpose, locate something in your environment that feels pleasant. Perhaps, pardon me, perhaps only neutral. Anywhere between pleasant and neutral. I'm going to invite you to scan either outwardly or inwardly with all of your senses, letting all the senses go for a walk around your space. And as they land on that thing that's pleasant and neutral, the invitation is to take time to notice what it is you like the most about that in this moment. And then I'm going to invite you to savor it. Meaning to mindfully receive it and appreciate it. And notice its impact as you do so. So savoring it. Noticing the impact. And anything that happens inside the body mind as a response to that, I'm going to invite you to savor that as well. So it becomes an upward spiral of savoring, an upward spiral of savoring. All the goodness. Yeah. Breath by breath, sipping that in and appreciating it as I offer these words. Thank you so much for being here today in this way for this sweet moment of connection amongst us all. Thank you to all that's gone into that, to your families, your ancestors, your lineages, for creating you, for holding you in the way that they have. And thank you to those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands, that have nourished all of us, that have nourished those that have come before, and those yet to arrive. We offer you deep, deep gratitude. Thank you for your care. We ask for today's work to serve your individual intentions and to serve the collective as a whole in whatever way that looks like. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. So I was contemplating this session, the focus of it, on my dog walk this morning. And I usually turn my attention at some point in my dog walk to, you know, my day ahead and what might be coming in. And there's often information or messages that seem to show up hours before. And sometimes it changes by the time I actually get to the point of the session, and sometimes it's actually right the same. And today is one of those days where it's right the same. So what I'm seeing is a whole lot of submit collapsed energy in the upper thoracics, thoracic 1 through 7. And it's creating almost like this like tendency to hunch through the upper back and the chest alike. And it's creating quite the slump internally through the lungs, the heart, the rib cage, and it's even putting a little bit of pressure on the spleen, diaphragm, liver, gallbladder complex. Pancreas is in the mix with the spleen. And as we work with this, we're actually going to head into house number 6 to start off with. House number 6, in astrology, they think everything goes through those 12 phases or houses. The 6th phase or house is about practical action, about being able to discern what's appropriate for your health, of your body, of your mind, of your soul, of you, of your essence. And here we need to run lymphatic drainage, cleaning out toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. In particular, as it relates to substituting your own thoughts, ideas in favor of somebody else. It's almost like this automatic habit. And we're taught it as children. If you want to be safe, if you want to be taken care of, if you want to be part of our team and our family, then you have to listen to what I say, says mom or dad or the parental figures or the caretakers. And because we're taught, in essence, to outsource our own ideas, our thoughts, our opinions, we sometimes forget to reclaim those in older years, especially if we grew up in houses where that wasn't welcomed. So here we're looking at this reclamation project, reclaiming and honoring your capacity in this way to take front row center stage again, to come out of any tendency to think that it has to be hidden away in order to continue to belong or get your needs met. So we're going to run a Sidri on that. It's going to continue for the next 4 days, starting with C, circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve communication, lymph that drains, again, those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones and endocannabinoids that lower that inflammation, lower anxiety and depression, help the nervous system and the immune system and really the whole body mind to heal. And also running circulation of yin, nourishment, yang, protection. And also running hydration, helping the cells to take in water and joy and release any impurities that no longer belong here. Then D for defrag. Much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter that doesn't need to be here, and what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all of the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, and reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking and opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. Thinking of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. followed by a cellular repair, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health. We're doing that, interestingly enough, for the spleen meridian, which helps to bring in nourishment. It helps things to rise upwards and it helps to hold things up. Not necessarily in a holding, but that's kind of the wrong words. It's familiar verbiage, but it's a little inaccurate. It's more just attending to the natural upright energy that is. One could call that the celestial forces that help you to rise. The spleen is also summoned upwards in that same energetic force. And in the body, it's configured to supportively remind your organs to also be held upward or to hold their own spaciousness and not having to succumb in a downward gravitational pull or hide below. They get to rise above. So if the spleen meridian had a mantra, it might say something like rise above for its energetic vibration and how it travels through the system. The spleen is also the learner. It's the one who may at times get a little bit hesitant to rise in the way that it can if it's trying to make sense of something or digest a new concept. You know when like a light bulb goes off and you're like, oh, there's this naturally like, oh, uprising energy in the system? I attribute that to the spleen, right or wrong. I've not actually learned that through Chinese medicine. I'm kind of overlapping somatic work with Chinese medicine a little bit here in some unique ways. And as the cellular repair restores the capacity to rise, to allow for this nourishment to transcend upwardly, we can imagine that it's bringing in also the potentially the most nourishing vibration frequency there is in the entire universe for us humans, which is that of the Schumann resonance. It helps energy to literally rise and to receive this earth energy all the way through the entire body-mind. And helping it in particular to rise all the way up through to the head brain as we link all things spleen to all things kidney. The kidney meridian rules the head brain. It's thought to be the flower of the kidney meridian. Isn't that poetic? So as we work with balancing spleen and kidney in this way, again, there's a focal point on holding oneself tall. And the word here specifically is dignity, consciousness of dignity. I'm releasing here a fear of getting your head bitten off in anger, and then almost like a holding back your response, your own anger response, in return to that. And that whole push-pull cycle of wanting to be angry, but thinking that you shouldn't express that, is being held in the neck, and it's not actually allowing for as easeful flow for that spleen meridian, that Schumann resonance, that earth vibration to rise all the way through. So here we're linking in the eighth house, which is that of the kidney meridian, and reminding it of its essence of regeneration as we do so, as the eighth house works with death, rebirth, and regeneration on the other side of that. And as we enter this time of spring, post-Easter, I often think of it as time to rise and come out of the doldrums of the winter, the doldrums of the past season, as we enter this opportunity for newness, for new life, as it springs around us naturally, for those of you in the Northern Hemisphere that is. For those of you in the Southern Hemisphere, you're learning this by paradox, by looking at it through the opposite lens, particularly. And as we work with this anger, the anger response being received, being held back, and its offering, all of that pressure is actually creating the collapse that's in the neck, pardon me, of that pressure. And that pressure in the neck is contributing to that collapsed upper back and upper chest, well, chest. I mean, imagine that we can actually take almost like, you know, those little paddles they use to like ka-chunk, when somebody's having a heart issue and they try to restart it again. The fibrillation pads is the fancy name. I mean, imagine that those are on either side of your body, back and front. And if we could literally just like ka-chunk, it's going to help release the old, again, doldrums of the previous season and year. As we enter this new astrological year, as we've entered Aries, we've entered this new astrological cycle, we've entered spring, we're post-Easter, all the holidays from all of the cultures and traditions around the world are traditionally orienting right now to celebration of life, to reclamation of life itself. It's the time of birth, as the season of death is slowly surrendering, making even more room for this birth to come through all the way through the upper body, upper back, and chest. And as we offer, again, without the ka-chunk, just the energy of the vibration pads or the fibrillation pads, pardon me. And I'm gonna imagine that they'd somehow turn into hands. If it helps, you just imagine that my hands are lovingly coming through the computer screen and holding front and back body in the upper regions, just at the base of the neck, as this part of your body relearns how to receive support, what it is to be supported, and as it does so, releasing any habitual patterns of expectations of disappointment or even the time where it was not even just an expectation, but an actual disappointment itself. I'm gonna run another Sidri on this. It's gonna continue for the next 3 days. Same steps as I mentioned before. And as we run that Sidri, it's also reorienting your nervous system to what it might be like to exist in a body that wasn't collapsed in this particular way, that wasn't used to having to submit to the energies, one could say, of defeat, of despair, of hopelessness, of helplessness. And as we support the system in coming out of its own shell, so to speak, I'm just simply hearing the words, I'm here. I'm here. And then next up, related to this all, we're actually releasing the, again, habit, the habit pattern specifically of intellectualization, which is like a sophisticated way of saying overthinking and overanalyzing. But it might speak to the part of your brain that does it in that way, that overintellectualizes and considers itself to be, you know, a little bit maybe even superior or arrogant or has a tendency to rise above by thinking, you know, other people aren't as good as I am, or rising above in the sense that others seem to not have what I do. I know better than they do, might be the essence here. And as we look at that, the underlying belief of intellectualization of I know better than they do, it also becomes its own management strategy. It's a way of managing life. It's a way of trying to keep oneself safe in their environment. And underneath that, it's attempting to protect this vulnerable, scared little 2-year-old who's still trying to figure out how to get their needs met, how to live in this world, and how much of their own force, their own will, they have to use to make that happen. Willpower structure begins to develop at ages at age 2, continues roughly through age 4. So we're looking at the foundational primal beginning of your will structure that's built on top of your need structure. So your need structure comes slightly before then, it's about 6 months to 1.5 years. And on top of that, we've got our will structure. So if the need structure is kind of not the most solid, guess what happens to the will structure? extra not solid. So here, because we've shored up the need structure a fair bit over the last while, the will structure is ready to be reconfigured. It's ready to open up, to blossom outwardly, to tangibly release its, I'm going to say, protection of hyper-containment. If I could speak in a simpler language, it would say something to the effect of, I don't have to hold that in anymore, and I don't have to hold that back anymore. And as we offer freedom, or the essence of freedom, to your will, funny thing happens. It no longer needs to assert itself as hard as it was doing before, and it becomes somehow more useful to just simply be existing. When and as needed, it can come in to do its thing, but it doesn't have to be always on, or always trying to get its way, or always forceful, or always looking at reasons why it has to fight. And as it begins to surrender the need to fight, along with all that management stuff that we outlined previously, I actually see the lungs take a really deep breath that can get into the upper lobes of the lungs, and here releasing tender, tender grief, old grief. The grief that says, I can't believe I wasn't as open as I have been till now. What have I missed and lost out having been closed off in this way? For how long that's been closed off? And the heaviness of that begins to actually get processed and released breath by breath through the upper lobes of the lungs. And grief, when it shows up, is such a welcome thing in this approach and through the trauma lens. For grief is usually the sign that a new way is actually underway. As you grieve the old, it creates room again for the new to be here more thoroughly, more fully in you. And then we're going to balance all things spleen to all things stomach as their yin and yang counterparts. And as the spleen was rising, the stomach begins to supportively digest the experience of being so upright, for being so alive, for being so present and here. And it begins to actually digest and assimilate your conscious world in useful ways. And as we do so, releasing the belief system, the world is so screwed up. Releasing the belief and all the underlying energies of worry and anxiety around how screwed up the world is. If we keep seeing life through that lens, it'll keep appearing as so. And I'm not saying there aren't challenging things happening in the world, but what might it be to open up some space to also see the beauty that's also here in the world all at the same time? For if we only look at what's wrong, which is what our brain is naturally orienting to do at all times for survival, we forget to see the goodness. We forget to take in the nourishment that our body desperately needs for healing, for vitality, for wellness, for functionality. And in this way, as we forget to do that, we become almost like our own worst enemy, determined to orient to things that are wrong or bad or are seemingly necessary for survival. And we totally forget about the nourishment that's also necessary for survival in the form of taking in the joyful, the good, the beauty, the ease. Where is it pleasant? Where can we find something that's also healthy for us to be with, to take in? And as we do that, also again releasing this pattern of being your own worst enemy in this way. And running a cellular repair on this, linking that through to the nervous system and the kidney meridian that governs it. Then we're circulating the consciousness of pancreatic reflex points, which helps us to take in the sweetness of life, which helps us to connect to feeling the embrace of the universe, of the divine, of the eternal, of God, of whatever your word here is. And also helps us to come into balance with all things left, right, bringing in the healthy essential quality of union. As we do that one more time, releasing, but I know better, that over-intellectualization, that's a mouthful, and releasing that from the area where the skull joins the spine, in particular on the left side, but it's really present in both, but it's a little bit more on that left logical side than it is on the right intuitive side. As we do so, releasing, again, that habit of arrogance, or that habit of superiority, or that habit of, again, I know better, I know best. And within that, opening up the capacity to take in information from others that may not have been available to you because of that. There's a whole new realm of learning and relationality, a whole new realm of learning when it comes to partnering with other people and taking in their points of view and their perspectives. Opening up to receiving, not codependence in the way that you typically have, may have typically experienced it or is typically thought to be in our world, but interdependence in a good way. So as we begin to sustainably rely on others to be there for us, to co-regulate with us, to exist, period, in their essence of however they're showing up, not necessarily needing them to be in one way or another, but ideally regulated, we're running the permissions here that it's safe to attach. As we do so, beginning to reprogram your system each and every time you interact with another human being that's in a helpful, I want to say regulated, but most humans are just maybe a slightly bit out at times. And that's enough, that's fine. If it's on the edge or if it's totally regulated, that's great too. Some are really regulated. They exist, it happens. And as we do that, basically setting a little filter around your amygdala complex to catch those times when you're with another human being that's actually offering you something from a different perspective that you might have been closed off to before, but it's also somehow nourishing. Just the very act of opening up to what they have to say and how they're offering their expression and learning about them gets to be something that you get to experience as something that's actually good and helpful and regulating within your own nervous system. And as we do that, at the same time, releasing overwhelm from the spleen. Overwhelm around learning about their world, learning about how they seem to be, learning about how they seem to interact. Releasing that overwhelm from the spleen so it can actively take in nourishment from other people in a way that also helps that spleen meridian to continue to rise above. And this, I have a little flash up and I'll share it now, a little pop up of a teacher of mine in all things relationship, Alison Armstrong. And something to the effect of, oh, I'm having a menopause moment. Hang on, I just lost it. Give me a minute, it'll come back. This is it. Got it. Thanks for your patience. Focusing less on the story that somebody's sharing and more on the storyteller. How do they seem to be when they're sharing this thing with you? Is it something that lights them up, that's passionate? You might vehemently disagree with that. But if you focus less on what it is they're sharing and less on their story and more about them and how they seem to be in that moment as they share that thing that's like, oh, so juicy to them, oh, so passionate for them. If you can focus on the elements within the human that feel good to you and tease out the actual energy behind the things that you might actually hold opposing views to. we begin to learn how to take in again and orient to the goodness and not just look for what's wrong in a way that builds resiliency in our nervous system, as well as opens us up to loving presence from another. And there is an active amount of information, an active amount of vitality, and an active amount of healing energy that happens when we're held in loving presence. We're meant to get the bulk of that and the patterning of how that happens by the holding of our little infant selves by our caregivers. So, in particular, I want to emphasize the mother-child bond that is just different from the father-child bond. And as the mother-child bond grows and becomes stronger over experiences in the number of days, weeks, months that this little one is alive, it's meant to slowly build and build and build that this is what it's like to be held in loving presence. Most of us didn't get that when we were young, so this is a way to fill that void or any amount of void. It might not be very much, might be a little bit, might be a lot, I don't know. But opening that up to begin to take in what it is to be held and nourished and loved in another's presence, but doing it in a way that you actually get to have a say over how that is for you. And the way that you get more of that, this sounds a little bit odd, maybe, but even when it's around people that might hold again energies, views that are different than your own, you get to take it in by focusing on the things that light them up. Focusing on the energy of them and the lit upness versus the content that got them there. And as we orient your nervous system to begin to open up, to take that in, to take in nourishment in this way, we need to help it to release the pain of the void that it experienced in younger life where it didn't get its needs met in that same way then. So for that, I'm going to call it a void. Not the void, but a void. We're going to run circulation of all the healing resources, bringing in the blood, the nerve, the lymph, all the same ones that I mentioned earlier. We're also releasing the anger, in particular the rage around not having had that in early life. And I see that in particular coming off of the spleen meridian. And any low self-esteem that's developed in relationship to I wasn't tended to well gets to also go with this. It gets to release. As there's even more anger that gets to release, so too does the lymphatic system drain out any low self-esteem all at the same time here. And then we're bringing in the planetary energy of the sun. And much like the essence of fire, it has light to it. Light that casts no shadow but creates shadow. Light that casts no shadow but creates shadow. And as we work with this, taking in the pure essence of sunlight. We're also going to bring in the pure essence of moonlight, followed by the pure essence of starlight. Sun, moon, and stars, filling in that void. And as that happens, I actually see it filling up that space through chest, through upper back, creating not just a ka-chunk of the fibrillation pads where we spark something quickly and we bring something back quickly, but now doing the slow build, the slower yin energy, the nourishing energy begins to fill those spaces. And we're going to set the stage for this to continue over the next 3 weeks, so almost to the end of the month. And I'm not sure exactly why, but we're also bringing the energy in of evergreen trees, to help this to become a habitual evergreen thing. So the next 3 weeks as it runs, it's going to set the stage for moving forward in life in an evergreen manner of particularly receiving nourishment and receiving nourishing interactions from people that are independent, again, of the person's contents, how their structure is. It has everything to do with you orienting to listening to what seems to actually be really nourishing in this person for them. If that feels really challenging, start off with someone that you think is actually really healthy and good for you and make it easy to start with. And then slowly, slowly building up, and that might take years, to open up to other people who are maybe more challenging or are directly oppositional to everything that you believe for yourself. As we do so, we slowly, slowly begin to train ourselves to take in the light of life as it's reflected through humans. Oriented to taking in the life, the light of another human being's energy. And even if you're someone who's really skilled at relations, you're rock solid in that territory, think of this as helping to open up to being able to perceive the spiritual essence of that being, to deeply allow your soul to communicate through to humanity itself. So wherever your edge is, working slowly, slowly, slowly over the coming days, weeks, months, years, as much or as little as feels right for you in this regard, excuse me. And it again carries that impact of a do-over of how it is you attached in your early life. Excuse me. And as we begin to practice that do-over, it usually takes a little bit of time. Attachment in the early stages of life was meant to happen slowly over years. So as you redo that for yourself, granting yourself time, space, potentially patience along the way as you begin to regroup that neural pathway, and you begin to neurocouple new experiences into your nervous system so you can attract even more of those nourishing experiences. And I see this linking to all 12 houses, reorienting every single stage of life through all 12 houses. And as we worked with the anger, the collapsed anger in particular through the upper chest, it actually begins to liberate the energy that's necessary for this project to happen. And to support that even further, we're going to link all things sexual chakra through to the kidney meridian, the kidney organs, the nervous system, and the head brain alike. And again, we're linking in the light to the sun, the moon, and the stars, to all things kidney, kidney meridian, nervous system, head brain. And then I hear the liver say, it's got this sort of like masculine bouncer voice, which is kind of funny given how yin the liver really is and how deeply feminine it is. But it's got this energy of like, yeah, I'm going to support you while you do that, all kidney. I've got your back while you do that. So to support the liver and supporting the kidney, we're going to give the liver a little bit of TLC as well. And it's been hanging on to some chronic resentment. Well, resentment by its very nature is chronic. It's resending anger that's looping. So it's hanging out in the actual liver cells, the hepatocytes. It's hanging out actually in the extracellular matrix of the fluid. So it's the fluid that all the little organelles, just like you have organs, your cells have organelles, teeny tiny organs. And they have their own names. They're not lung, heart, liver, gallbladder. They have other names like cytoskeleton and mitochondria and Golgi apparatus or complex, if you've heard it that way, and the endoplasmic reticulum. Lots of fancy names. But we're actually looking at the fluid that holds it all. And there's this resentment here around not being held, around not being held nourishingly enough, long enough, tight enough, loose enough, not being held lovingly enough. And it's become this habitual subconscious level resentments. Now, for whatever reason, this might be because I'm draining my hot tub as we speak, but I'm actually seeing it as like a little drain in the extracellular matrix. But unlike the hot tub where it just drains everything, we're going to help it to discriminately drain out the resentment. And you know how you like. I'm mixing up my metaphors a little bit here. But you know how you tap a maple tree if you're Canadian? We put little plugs in our tree if you're not, and we are some of our trees. And out comes this sweet syrup and sap. It's similar to that. We're creating like a little drain in here that's going to keep draining and it's going to keep running for the next 3 weeks. Again, almost to the end of the month. So as the body receives its nourishment, it's also going to drain out this old resentment over the next 3 weeks. Which will take us right to, interestingly enough, the session on worry in this series. If I've counted right, I don't think we're missing any weeks. I think we keep going. Okay, we're going to tap this all out here. Invitation to breathe, to receive. Then we're heading into the mouth, which the spleen governs. And as the spleen is particularly oriented to taking in nourishments, obviously the mouth fits that bill. We imagine that, or we could imagine that it becomes like a vessel, very feminine. The spleen is very yin. It becomes a vessel to be filled. And you now get to choose what it is you take in, whether that's other people's words, whether that's food, air, water, a nourishing beverage, or anything else. And here we're working with the energetics of the belief system, I can't. I'm not allowed to. I can't. I'm not allowed to. When I look at where that came from, it actually came from early childhood, around 6, 7, 8 years old. Around the times where you may have had parents who, or caregivers who told you to not take that thing in, to not accept that gift that you really wanted, to not go to that person's house for a sleepover or whatever it was. The times in which you were seemingly denied nourishment, then, and as well, adjacent to that, or very closely related to that, times in which you felt it would be too painful to take in the goodness of life because it was just going to go back to the harmful, challenging, negative, pick your word here, circumstances. So it's like, well, there's no point doing all that work to take in this when I'm just going to get taken down. So here we're running lymphatic drainage again, taking out toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing around those dynamics and around, in particular, their impact on the mouth. And then related to this, I actually see the tongue in like a cage. And this is like the denied experiences of expression and the nourishment of that. The denied experiences of expression that would have been nourishing for you. Hold that in, shut that down. Don't be however you are right now. Change what you're doing, suppress yourself so you can make me happy to meet my needs. And related to that, again, the orientation of how out there is more important than in here. At the same time as all of that, all the suppressed rage and anger that came with that act of having to hold that all in, releasing that from the very root structure of the tongue, which is the muscle that goes a fair ways down the throat. And to release that all the way through. It's also cleaning out the times when you had to bite your tongue to the point where you collapsed in on yourself. And again, this energy of forced submission. You're not allowed to say what you think and feel, but I'm allowed to say everything that I think and feel. In the power dynamic of an older to a younger person, as was common for many of us in the eras that we grew up in. And with this, I actually see in a good way energy getting mobilized now through that upper back, chest. I'm going to invite you, if it feels right, to actually take your hands into your shoulders, roughly, or anywhere around there. And to press out, when you make a little bit of sound, ah, boo, om, and imagine as you're pushing, however your sound is great. Imagine that you're pushing through something like sludgy cement, something that has texture, something that has a little bit of give to it, though. So, like when I say cement, I was actually thinking of wet cement. I don't know if I said wet or not. But like, you know how you push through things that are really thick or dense in texture and then it gives, but you have, kind of have to work at it at the same time? It's like that. As you push through, if your arms get straight, starting again, coming back to the shoulders and picking a different direction, and allowing for this new energy that's expressing through the system, through those old places of fights that were stuck there. To mobilize and release all the way through, and feel free to keep doing that in different directions. And as you carry on with that practice, as much or as little as you feel called to, it's as if you're granting yourself space in every one of the directions, carving out your spaciousness for you. And the more space we have, the more space we grant ourselves, the more space we're willing to actually take up with our expression in this world. And as that happens, expression is the antidote for depression. So releasing layer after layer after layer of depression from the system. So feel free to keep that going with the arms, pushing outward and making some sound with it. Taking up space with your expression and releasing any shut down, depressed, collapsed areas in the system. In particular, through that upper back, chest. And as it mobilizes out through the arms, it might actually release a bit through the arms themselves as well, even through to the hands and everything along that pathway. And it's being defined by the consciousness of a symphony of surrender. A symphony of surrender. Meaning, as this releases, it surrenders. As it moves through your body, it's an act of surrendering it. And it gets to be symphonic in nature, meaning different instruments have different sounds. It's as if the energies that are releasing through here have some variability in their tone, in their texture, in their nature of expression, releasing that through here. I'm not exactly sure how this is tied in, but we're also releasing any stuckness around figuring out what to say, how to act, how to behave, how to be. And all of that figuring out energy, ooh, was, forgive me, I'm just hitting, bonking my computer. Is releasing from the amygdala complex as well as through this sphenoid bone. The amygdala is the part of our brain that makes decisions, often based on fear, anger, and rage. The sphenoid is the master bone in the skull and the body, really. All the other bones of the skull align to it. And as this loosens up, as this moves and grooves, we're going to encourage everything here to keep releasing, moving, building by running the permissions here that mobilization or movement is safe. Mobilization or movement is safe. And the permissions, you don't have to shut down anymore. You don't have to shut down anymore. You don't have to shut down anymore. That ends now. That ends now. That ends now. And we're linking this all through to the house 12, releasing, surrendering, making space, as well as landing in our truer sense of self. Or as the Jungians might put it, individuation. We're tapping this part out here. Invitation to breathe and receive here. Okay, love. Giving that a slow, deep breath. To integrate this, linking in cortices that balances the two hemispheres of the brain, helps the two sides of our brain to work better together, particularly the head brain, linking that to the heart. Particularly the spiral of the muscle fibers at a cellular level to restore proper geometric, what's my word here, geometric shape, and to remind them how to function optimally. If you want to simplify that, you can think of that as natural consciousness for the organ of the heart and its associated meridian. And it's all linking down through to the hara, the center of vitality, just below the navel, It's this wellspring of energy. It's this wellspring of wellness that gets to move on the back of the breath, on the back of your movements, on the back of your desire to express yourself. As you summon it or do something in alignment that's vital, that's life-giving, that's life-affirming, it actually naturally can't help but boot up more. That's its nature. And for this, for the Hara, we're also running the permissions here. Your brightness, your fullness, your wholeness is welcome here. Your brightness, your fullness, your wholeness are welcome here. Take up space. Take up space. Breathing here, tapping this in, receiving. Surrendering. Allowing. Giving that another round or two of breath. If it feels right, bringing in the resource that you found earlier. And allowing yourself to savor and rest in all that feels good here for you. There's a song, it's about 2.5 minutes or so, called Created by Sound. It's a song by Alexa Sunshine Rose. Enjoy, y'all.
We are created by sound. We are created by the song of the universe. We are created by sound. We are created by the song of the universe. Singing with the trees. Singing with the song of the universe. Singing with the whales. Singing with the honeybees. We are created by sound. We are created by the song of the universe. We are created by sound. We are created by the song of the universe. Singing with the trees. Singing with the song of the universe. Singing with the whales. Singing with the honeybees. We are created by sound. We are created by the song of the universe. We are created by sound. We are created by the song of the universe. Singing with the trees. Singing with the song of the universe. Singing with the whales. Singing with the honey of the universe. We are created by sound. We are created by the song of the universe. We are created by sound. We are created by the song of the universe. Singing with the trees. Singing with the song of the universe. Singing with the whales. Singing with the song of the universe. Singing with the trees. Singing with the song of the universe. Singing with the whales.
Thank you for calling this medicine in. And thank you for being here exactly as you are. Mm. Mwah. I love to you as you move through your day, your coming days, your week ahead. Blessings. And as always, I'm happy to stick around if anybody needs any additional one-on-one support. Wishing you a beautiful, beautiful, joyous spring, if it's that season for you, or potentially fall if you're entering that season. Okay. Bye for now, loves.